All right.
Well, we were looking at Acts chapter 27, verses 1 through 37, and we were asking the question specifically, how do we receive God's encouragement when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a hardship, when we're going through a difficult time? And we commented that everyone needs encouragement. Everyone that you talk to, even unbelievers, need encouragement. And believers need encouragement. And so we've been thinking about that, and we talked about how in the story that they were receiving Paul's encouragement that he was giving. Paul was encouraged himself, and by being with people, by remembering his presence with us, by remembering that we belong to God, and by remembering that we are his servants. And Paul called, he said, the God whom I serve, in verse 23, he was letting these people know, but that they could be encouraged. And Paul saw himself as a slave of Christ, and he represented Christ in every opportunity. And so let's continue on. And the fifth way that we can, I don't know how it's written in there, but by remembering his promises. And Paul did that. I don't like writing in front of people. I noticed I was looking at that, and I spelled a word wrong, and I was like, oh, I fixed it, though, so you don't know, unless you read it last week. But Paul relates the angel's words, you must stand before Caesar. And these words that he said to Paul, these were just a reminder of what he'd already been told when he was back in Jerusalem. It was said there, but on that very night, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for as you have solemnly borne witness to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must bear witness at Rome also. And the word must points to a divine necessity. God says you must. You know it's going to happen. He's always faithful to his promises. And so God can be for you in whatever trial you're going through. The Lord promised in Isaiah 43, it says, but now, thus says Yahweh, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And so, by remembering God's promises, that can help you through that difficult time, as it did Paul and his companions. Now, I have number six here, by remembering that God answers your prayers. The angel told Paul, behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you, in verse 24. God has granted you all those that are sailing with you. And the words God has granted implied that Paul had been praying. Paul had already prayed. And he prayed not only for himself, but he prayed for everyone who was on board. They would all be saved from really what must have seemed like certain death, that they would be saved from this shipwreck. And it's true, the world probably never knows the protection that a nation never knows that it receives because of the prayers of God's people. And I think, you know, our nation, and we could debate a lot about our nation, but God has blessed this nation because, I believe, of believers that are living here and that are concerned about his cause. The scripture doesn't tell us how many of those eventually became Christians on board, but I tend to think, I mean, just imagine, there were people who trusted in Christ. As you read through this story and it goes on, and they come to the island of Malta, and they're certain, I think that many of them did. In verse 37, it says there were 276 souls. And again, we commented this wasn't just a rowboat. This was probably a very large sailing vessel of the ancient Near East. And but when we go through a difficult time, don't just pray that God's deliver you, but that he'll grant you the souls of other people, that other people will come to know him, other people that you contact during that trial in your life or that storm. And it may be God's taking you through a difficult time right now in order that you might be a testimony, you might be a witness, that you might just graciously bring the gospel to other people who need to know, they desperately need to know. And the fact that he graciously answers prayers for the salvation of others should encourage us in our trials. And then there's a seventh, and by believing him. Didn't have enough time to finish this last week, but let's try. Paul tells the people on board to be cheerful, and he adds in verse 25 that we read, "Therefore be cheerful, men, for I believe that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." He says that in verse 25. And God promised that there would be certain things. There would be no loss of life. And the things that God's promised, the things that God's told you, the things that God's written in his word, we need to trust in them. We need to believe them. It doesn't do us much good, the things that are written that relate to us, and if we don't know them, we don't believe them. But God is going to do what he said despite your overwhelming circumstances you may find yourself in. So that could be an encouragement. Hebrews chapter 11, it reminds us it was by faith that the men and women of the past saw God do mighty things on their behalf. And we can trust God in the storms of life, just as the disciples did in the boat when the winds and waves were breaking over them and they were despairing and they were calling out God's presence, and they believed that they would, they believed in him. And we remember in that case, at least Mark, that the winds and waves instantly obeyed him. And that'd been neat to be part of. It says, I think that when Jesus spoke, he, "Hush, be still," it became still. It was smooth and still, and I'm sure they were in awe over that. And so that was encouraging. And we need to believe him. So encourage others, though, to believe in him and witnessing. And we first need to receive God's encouragement, as Paul did in this story. Then he, having received this encouragement, he encouraged others. And that's something that we can do. Find someone to encourage when you're going through a difficulty or a trial. Our tendency is to focus on our own problems, isn't it? We become consumed with what we're going through. And we fail to see what someone else might be experiencing in a storm or in life. And Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't keep the encouragement that he received from God to himself. He makes sure to tell other people. He didn't keep it from Luke and Aristarchus. He shared it with everyone on board. And he was able to take courage based on God's promise. Historians tell us that, at least or commentators, say that a lot of people that were on this ship probably were condemned prisoners. A good number of them were men that were condemned, possibly to die at the hands of, I mean, the Romans. I don't think it was a full-blown Colosseum, you know, that wasn't going on yet, but there were those that died by wild beasts or the hands of lions, and that, you know, if you had a prisoner, he's condemned to die, why not make a sporting thing of it? So it's great that the Apostle Paul is there. He's received encouragement from the Lord, and he's telling these other people to be encouraged, to take on God's courage because of his promise of deliverance. And Paul lets those people know it's the living God, the God whom he serves, that has brought about their deliverance. And so he makes it clear that the source of deliverance came from God. And so what are some ways, just basically applying this, how can we encourage other people when we're going through a trial? Again, when I'm going through a trial, if I'm sick or I'm not doing well, I only think about me because I'm the one I'm in my own personal private pain. I'm the one who's suffering. It's hard to think of other people. But here's some ways that we can encourage other people in a trial. And the first way is by being with them in the storm. As I mentioned, Luke and Aristarchus were with Paul. They weren't only here with him, not only here, but in the prison at Rome. They were all on board with him. And the Lord often puts us in a storm, as I said, or puts us with other people so that we can benefit them for the good of others. And it's true, there's nothing recorded in the story what Luke said, what Aristarchus said, but you can be sure that they were encouraging each other, that mutual encouragement that they would receive was powerful. It's not recorded, but their presence was there. And that no doubt was an encouragement to Paul. And sometimes there are people going through, and I say a storm, and you know I mean just metaphorically, but they're going through a storm in life, and we think, oh wow, when we hear about it, and we hate to visit people who are going through a trial because we go, I don't know what to say to him or her. I don't know how to be a comfort. And, that's okay. We all know that just your presence, by being there and listening. And Job's three friends, someone said, they were They were doing really good until they opened their mouths. But the fact that they were there, I'm sure, was a comfort to him. That he had a friend that would come and care enough to sit with him, care to take care of him. So being with them in a storm. Second way is by praying for them. After Paul's advice to these men, he said, he encouraged them not to go any further. He said, look, if we go, it's going to be a loss of life, possibly. Well, he says, I think but there's going to be a loss of life, there's going to be loss of the ship, there's going to be a loss of our cargo, and he encouraged them not to go. But the people were persuaded by the captain and others to go on. And it'd be easy for Paul to say, well, that's how they feel. They deserve to perish. I mean, they're going to get what's coming to them. They deserve to lose everything that they have. But he puts his feelings aside and he prays for them. He prays for them. Prays that they will be delivered. And again, these people that were on the ship with him, at least the soldiers, there's indications that these weren't nice guys. These weren't moral men. There's indication that they could save their own skin if they just get out of here. They could kill the prisoners, and that'd be that. And so the soldiers guarding Paul, and they basically showed their true colors when they wanted to kill the prisoners. But Paul knew they all needed the Lord, so he prayed for them. He prayed for them to. So we need to pray for people too. Pray that they will receive God's mercy. Pray that they'll receive God's mercy, because none of us deserves it. There's a third way, and that's by seeing to their needs. Paul encouraged them in verse 34 to eat some food, and that apparently was, they had gone for days, and remember we described what that must have been like. I mean, I can't even imagine. One day being tossed about in the dark, not being able to see the stars at night or the sun by day, but 2 weeks, that's quite a voyage. Gilligan's got nothing on a 3-hour trip. Yeah, it was a difficult time, and Paul encouraged them to take a meal. And one of the things that we can do, I think by that is taking, that's something that we can do, is, you know, we said by being with them in the storm, but we can take them a meal. Someone who's been ill, clean their house for them, go grocery shopping for them. And typically the thing I usually say is, well, if you need anything, let me know. Always, they're not going to say, they're probably not going to say, I do need, just show up and provide something. You can imagine, and you can maybe figure out what's going on in people's lives and what their needs are, and you can meet those needs. So just do it for them. And one way to think of what to do is, what would I need if I were ill? And if I've been down for days on my back, sick in bed, what would I need? And then provide it for them. Yeah, prayer. Prayer is important. But so is also doing something tangible.
Liquids.
Liquids. An IV bag, yeah. Take a EMT class. And, oh, okay. All right. What?
Food.
Yeah, food, meals, all sorts of things. And then the fourth way is by being a positive example. By being a positive example. And Paul was, he is in the same boat, literally, with all of these people, all of these, and really, you can, I think, pagans. He's there, he's getting seasick, just as they did. Paul had been discouraged, he had been fearful, just as they had been. But when he received encouragement from God, he was faithful to share that with other people, to tell them about the Lord and the encouragement that he received. And he gives thanks to God for the bread, and he gives thanks publicly. He stands up and says, it's God. And he sets example. And the others were encouraged to follow him. And it's good to remember that when we're in the storm of life, there are people around you that are looking perhaps to you. Your spouse, your children. And you can encourage them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in trials, and trust him in difficult trials. And then the fifth way, by telling them of God's greatness and power to save. By telling them of God's greatness and power to save. Paul didn't just say, have a positive outlook. You know, he didn't say, have faith. He told them that he believed God and the promise of deliverance that God had given. Many in this world have faith that everything's, you know, I believe, you know, things will turn out okay. And they're very positive. They're optimistic people. But they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so everything's not going to turn out okay for the one who does not know Christ. So we want to remember that. He that has the Son has life. He does not have the Son of God, does not have the life. So remember, in a trial, God may be using you. It's not enough just to encourage people in a difficult storm that everything will turn out okay, but we need to tell people, as we're facing difficulties, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save them, and that he can save them if they would confess their sins and they would put their trust wholly on him. So yeah, I don't know what you think about this. We've got a few minutes left, but the Apostle Paul let his life be used to spread the gospel. And I'm sure he thought at the time, this is not worth it, but that was well worth it because of the people who came to know him in the end. So, any thoughts or comments? Anything that... Oh, I've got something here I'll read in a second, too. I think I'm kind of interested, too. Yeah.
Would the same... would the same way of looking at it be applied? Let's say we were in Israel or Ukraine, and we've been at war for 2 years. Would any of the recommendations on how to encourage others, would it be the same if it's now the second and third year and there is no home, you lost everything? I'm serious.
Yeah. No,
it's prolonged suffering. What would change, in your opinion, if someone's going through a season where it's a couple of years of that?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that this storm, and God will determine how long a storm goes on many times I'd like to tell them, you know, it's for instance in Kansas when the wind would start blowing and it'd blow for days and we're losing shingles. And I tell God, you know, Lord, I think it's time, you know, it'd keep blowing and it'd keep blowing. And I said, you know, that there's a severe storm warning in your life from now until eternity. There's no guarantees that you're going to get out of this life alive. No one gets out of this life alive. And there's going to be hardship. And so someone living in the Ukraine or someone living in Israel.
For 400 years are slaves, right?
Yeah.
So someone was sharing those promises that you're 50. There's still 350 years to go
before
God intervenes.
Yeah.
That's a long time to suffer.
But God, it's up to God. God knows how long I need to go through this storm, how long it'll last.
So is that what you're sharing with someone?
Well, yeah. I just need to be faithful to Him. I need to see, I guess, a bigger picture. I'm going to be the kind of person that's a believer despite my outward circumstances. But God determines how long a storm is.
Well, we know a missionary that's in Ukraine, and they're just doing the next right thing. Like, they're not sitting and waiting. They're just continuing with their ministry, even though bombs do fall on the town where they live. And she's an American, so she could come home, but
that's
where God called her, despite the circumstances.
Okay.
I mean, and God also knows how much you can handle, right?
Okay, yeah.
He gives us the strength we need. He knows how much we can handle.
He'll decide when you've had enough, or He'll bring you home.
I think it's all about trusting God.
Yeah.
Trusting God. That trust.
Yeah.
That question dealt with a long period of time, long period of suffering.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that you would share with a person who just got diagnosed with a terminal illness and they've only got 6 months. It's a short period of time, but the end result is that for 6 months you're going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And there is no supposedly hope in a human sense for that it's terminal.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
So you still share the same things.
Yeah. Yes?
A couple things. One is none of these ideas here has a time limit. Nowhere did God say, look, if I don't provide what you want within 2 years, then go do what you want. You know, no, there's never anything like that in the Bible. But also, and you've mentioned this before, a lot of times when we are suffering, all we think about is ourselves. Mm-hmm. I want this to end because I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. But we have to remember that God is considering everyone. Not just me. And while it may be uncomfortable for me, it may be painful for me, but ultimately what He chooses, what He says is good, is best, might require me to suffer a little longer than what I would like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to pray, you know, you always pray for people who are sick, pray for my wife, pray that she would get better. But I also have to force myself now to say, I'm not necessarily, you know, as a human being, yes, certainly I want so-and-so to be healed, to be better. But in reality, you pray for that God's will be done in that, for whatever the situation is, will glorify God. Mm-hmm. Not that they'll necessarily get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes?
Kind of along those lines, whenever you talk with someone who's in some real hardship, your first instinct is to want to fix it. And we can't. Mm-hmm. but we want it. We want to take that away or whatever. And I think that's kind of forces us to go to the end of the line and to think about what do they need the most. They don't need the most to be fixed of whatever hardship they're in, but they need the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whether if they don't have Him, and if they do, they need to trust Him. And that's where As we help, as we do the practical helps and love them and all of that, we are wanting to help them to trust God in that, and it is hard. You know, it's when people have helped me when I've been down in there, they've pointed me up, and it's been so helpful because my head doesn't go up when I'm in it. It just goes to me, and it's so important to point them up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fixing the problem, but it's the most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where's your focus? Okay. Yes.
I was just going to say, you know, I'm 72 years old. And in that lifetime, there have been many times where things have happened that were not what I wanted. I mean, they were painful. I suffered. I wondered why in the world that happened. But in each case, when you look back over those years, and you say, well, if what had happened was what I wanted, then this wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. And you watch that, and it was God working in all of those situations, saying, no, Roger, it's not what you want, it's what I want, and this is what my plan is. And it's always worked out well.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it was painful.
It was,
God's working.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we want to be encouraging other people. We want to be encouraged ourselves. And we're going to find encouragement in God's word from the saints of old. And this, I came across this is something about, I don't know, something from Manhattan, Kansas. I don't know. I got this. But it's called Lessons of the Goose. This is going to be profound. But it says, as each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird behind it. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% more flying range than if the bird flew alone. And the lesson, if we were people who share a common direction and sense of community, can get where they're going quicker and easier when they're traveling on the thrust of one another. When a goose gets sick, wounded, or shot down, Two geese drop out of formation and follow it down. They stay with the goose to help and protect it until it's able to fly again or dies. Then they launch out with another formation to catch up with the flock. Lesson, if we have as much sense as geese, we'll stand by each other. Whenever a goose falls out of formation and suddenly feels the drag or resistance of trying to fly alone, it quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird in front. Lesson, if we have as much sense as a goose, we will stay in formation with those who are headed where we want to go. Now, I realize, you know, you understand this coming from Regional Prevention Center. I don't know. And then says, when the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into formation and another goose flies at the point position. It pays to take turns doing the hard tasks and sharing leadership. And then the geese in formation honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Lesson, we need to make sure our honking from behind is encouraging, not something less than helpful. But I thought that was kind of interesting. I found that someplace. But
yeah, I mean, I knew they flew in a V or and they do change the front one, but I didn't know the rest of that.
Yeah. Awesome. So you can, I mean, have our, well, character sketch. We're going to, no, I mean, not turn into another teacher. I won't seem to say his name. But, you know, when you see a geese, and Christ did this, he said, look at the birds, and a lesson from it. When you see geese flying, just remember that someone somewhere needs the encouragement of Christ, and what can I do for that person that would encourage them? And then go ahead and do it. Find a way to do it and do it. So, all right. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your kindness to us in Christ. Thank you for the encouragement that we have received in Christ. And Lord, I pray that we'd be very careful and we'll consider how we can encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Lord, I pray for that soul, that person who needs encouragement. Lord, may they find it in your word. And they may find it in other people. And may they give encouragement that they have received. Father, we pray for this morning and just pray for the worship service to follow. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.